Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's me, the Lou, D-O-double-G, and this is our first Geek Gourmet one-shot, where I have one shot to turn on the camera and tell you what it is I'm thinking about. So, on today's agenda, why the hell I love and hate overpowered characters. Now, I say this with one of my favorite characters of all time, if not my favorite superhero of all time, being Superman. Yes, I do both love and hate him. And mostly because there's different iterations of him where I'm like, yeah, you know, as comic books go. It's a really dumb premise, like if you really boil down, and it's very simple, maybe not dumb, but super simple premise that a being, a godlike being's one weakness is a fucking rock. It's a green rock, right? And yes, that sounds really dumb. And yes, I'm like, you couldn't have come up with something better, but also it's kind of beautiful with how simple it is, dude, because this one thing, this one little pebble can take him out. He's aggressively allergic to it, right? But as time went on, writers used it in such a way that was super creative, going as far as like having Batman use a kryptonite scalpel to take a kryptonite bullet out of him. Like, there are so many iterations where I'm like, that was really cool. But then when you take a look, and I say this loving Smallville, I fucking love Smallville, okay? It has a place in my heart that no other show will ever have. But Clark Kent and Smallville, the moment a meteor rock or kryptonite is within sniffing distance, the dude topples over and it's all of a sudden no longer a god. I'm like, okay, not the best way to, nerf my boy there, right? It's so like, that's the reason I love him so much, right? Because I'm like, oh my god, he's so amazing. This dude can literally bench press the weight of the earth for 5 days straight and break a single sweat, dude. Like, this guy's amazing. And then, you know, oh, little baby rock, I'm gonna just die now. Like, that's cool. But you know, at least Superman has a double-edged sword, right? Like, there are really cool iterations where it's not as big of a thing, but it is, right? His Achilles heel, so to speak. And then there are other iterations where I'm like, okay, that's fucking terrible. And on that Superman note, there's another character that I actually find so fascinating, and he actually kills Superman. I say in quotation marks because he doesn't actually die. But Doomsday, if you are familiar with the death of Superman, or you're not familiar with it, you should definitely go read it. However, Doomsday kills Superman with nothing but his fists. And it's really awesome, and it's one of those moments where, like, it's well-deserved, right? Because we have been through so many iterations of Superman where he always comes out on top, and this is really one of the first where he doesn't come out on top, right? And so, as you're moving through the story, you're like, holy shit, this immovable force meets an immovable object, and you find yourself, like, just in awe of everything. And when he, in quotation mark, dies, you're like, that's amazing. That was an amazing story, despite the fact that the hero did lose. Now, he does come back in Superman Returns, and as a matter of fact, I have original copies of those both. I'm not bragging. And it's really cool. It's a really cool send-off, and it was well-deserved. And that is one of the few instances where I'm like, this death for an overpowered character is well-deserved. Now, there are overpowered characters that got deaths that weren't deserved, right? And so, when I'm considering this, and I was writing down, like, okay, what characters do I want to talk about in this? The first one that came to mind, because this is kind of one of the more recent stories to wrap up with an overpowered character, and that's Attack on Titan. So if anybody here is familiar with Attack on Titan, or anime in general, they know that Levi Ackerman, and if you haven't seen the show, if you ever seen a picture of the guy, you're like, okay, I've seen that character before. Anyway, he's this overpowered character, and I love him. He's probably my favorite character in the whole series, and there's one season in particular that's dedicated to him, and that's obviously the best season in the whole show, in my opinion, right? And so, when he is met with his doomsday, so to speak, right, where he is killed, it doesn't feel deserved, because this is a character that single-handedly had taken down one of the biggest foes, if not after Eren, the biggest foe, right? In like one fell swoop, it felt like. I mean, if you know the series, you know that he like a whole army essentially was taken out so that he could take out this said enemy, right? And he does it all by himself. And so then, as you know, a couple seasons later, he dies in a very lackluster way, in my opinion, right? Or he doesn't die, but he gets crippled, right? He doesn't die, but he does get beaten, right? So to speak, in such a way that I'm like, I'm not convinced. And so, like, the whole time I'm reading the manga, right, and obviously we get into the anime, I'm like, this doesn't make sense to me, dude. And the only reason that the author had to do this was because, in my eyes, in my view, I'm like, there's no way, there's no world in which Levi cannot handle this situation, right? And so that's a double-edged sword with that, right? And so they call him the world's greatest soldier in the whole show, and he, you know, basically a toothpick stabs him in the foot, and he's like, ow, I'm done, you know? That's, like, in a nutshell what kind of happens, right? But if you are interested, I would say go watch it. I mean, it's worth the watch, you know? Let's not even talk about that Attack on Titan ending. However, an anime that does a really good job of morphing an overpowered character into the story to where it kind of makes sense. Now, I have my other opinions about how this was handled, but as the show progresses and the manga progresses, there are things that happen that I'm like, okay, this kind of feels good. This to me is kind of somewhere in the middle, right? And my opinion of this might change, but it's Jujutsu Kaisen, right? So Jujutsu Kaisen does a really good job of having an overpowered character that knows he's overpowered, right? And not just like, oh yeah, world's strongest soldier, whatever, right? We don't just see it, but we also hear it, right? And we like feel it. Like the immense power that this man has, Gojo, in this show is crazy. And it's a literal, like, plot point constantly of them being like, well, we can't really be evil and do evil things because Gojo's alive. Like, because Gojo will just come and destroy us all. So the whole thing with them is like, okay, before we can be evil, we have to take out Gojo, right? And so in the conversation with Gojo, and as we're progressing through the story, you're like, they literally say, I forget who says it, but they're literally like, by him being born, offset the balance between like evil and good immediately. Like, evil was up here and good was down here, and then, right, with Gojo being born, it literally balanced everything. And so he's able to one shot characters all by himself. He's able to strut around and do whatever he wants because he knows he's the strongest, right? And so it's even to the point to where they theorize in the show, okay, who would win? The strongest being in existence, which would be Sukuna, right? Or Gojo. Like, that is how overpowered he is. And in the show, I won't spoil too much, but they do something about him being around, right? And so I feel like there are ways to go about using overpowered characters and talking about overpowered characters and integrating them into your medium, right? Whether that be a book or a comic or what have you. It's just, they're just so fucking cool, dude, is the thing, right? Like, they're so fucking cool. Even villains, they're so fucking cool. But damn it, dude, when they are too fucking powerful and they get McMurdered, you're like, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. How are they going to do this to literally the strongest being in the world? Tell me. And so one of the shows, and going back into anime, right? One of the shows that I find had an interesting take on this, right? With All Might being, My Hero Academia being, All Might being like the most powerful being in, you know, whatever. We don't see him at his peak. We only see him post being hurt, post the big battle that happens in his time, that he emerges from victorious, we think, right? And he has to essentially put on this show so that not only the people, but the villains still think that he's at his peak, right? And so he's able to be at his peak for X amount of time. And if you're interested, you should totally watch it. There are particular seasons that are better than others, but My Hero is very good. And in this conversation of overpowered characters, he has a really awesome fight where you find yourself cheering, right? But this is a handicap, so to speak, right, for him, where he can't be at his peak for more than a couple hours at a day, right? Whereas before, he could be at his peak 24/7 before the big battle, right? And so that was a very interesting way to deal with an overpowered character, right? And having someone that overpowered. And it doesn't only, like, stop at heroes, right? It also goes to villains, right? We saw that with Thanos. Now, in the MCU, Thanos was around. He was doing his thingy thing, and he was having his glove, and he did, you know, the snap and all of that. In Infinity War, you felt the weight of all of the deaths that had happened as a result of him snapping his fingers. I loved a lot of the moments in Endgame. To me, and I don't hate Endgame at all. I thought it was a great film. I thought it was amazing. It's just really hard when you have an unstoppable villain like that. And then you use time travel, you know? And it's like, okay. It's just like, because like the multiverse stuff, the time travel stuff, some of it feels like a bit of a cop-out at times, you know? And in Endgame, I totally understand why people might feel that way. But anyway, that's why I both love and hate overpowered characters, because while they have a place in my heart, sometimes they just need to not be that overpowered.